The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If you have any questions for Ger Herbert on car buying, which we're going to be talking about later on, or Jess Kelly on tech and gadgets, which we are going to be talking about now, because Jess has just arrived back from Las Vegas, where she was at CES, which is the Consumer Technology Association's annual trade show. Did you have more than 100 quid in expenses for the trip, Jess?
Did you?
Good.
Yeah, our CFO is going to love me on Monday morning. Wait until you see. That's all in suitcase.
This thing is massive, as I understand it.
It is huge. So just to talk you through some of the numbers, it's bigger than 17 football fields put back to back to back to back, right? It is bananas. My little sausage dog legs were walked off me over the few days. It is absolutely wild. Not only is there the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is four separate halls, and each of those individual halls are about four times the size of the RDS. So it's massive. There's also events taking place in some of the hotels. So the Venetian Hotel, the one with the gondolas going through, attached to Sphere. Downstairs in the function part of that, you have a lot of the startups showcasing what they have. You then also have press events taking place at the way other end of the strip in Mandalay Bay. It very much takes over Las Vegas as a whole. So there's more than 1,000 speakers, 1,400 startups, 15,000 exhibit booths, and more than 135,000 attendees. It is bananas.
Displaying what kind of stuff?
All kinds of everything. I've been going to this now for about 10 years. And when I first went, it was very much smartphones, improving the battery, new TVs. This time, as I walked around, it's an everything show. So if you're a gardener and you want to, you know, grow certain types of flowers, or if you want to identify certain types of flowers, there are now specific devices that you can put in your garden and it'll identify the soil, it'll identify the nutrients that your soil needs, it'll identify the plants that are growing in your garden. If you're interested in drones, there's a whole host of drones. If you are a sports fan, there's a whole host of monitoring technology being developed beyond what we have now that will not only identify the current performance, but similar to what we have on some of our wearables in terms of dictating or advising what you should do to get optimum performance. I also saw a whole host of wearable glasses. So this is something that I'm very much interested in as a glasses-wearing human. At the moment, the big player in this space is Meta. So they have a partnership with Ray-Ban. But there was a whole section of one of the big halls dedicated to wearables being developed by companies that were founded by former military personnel. And they took the learnings from the military and they utilised...
From heads-up displays and the like.
Exactly it. And integrating that into lenses. Also, you know, that the use of AR technology within these glasses as well. So to have it...
Can I ask about whether or not this is going to catch on? Because I happened to be on a flight recently and the guy sitting beside me sits down, he opens a small box and he takes out of it one of the Apple...
Oh, the VRs, the Vision Pro, yeah.
Correct. Puts it on his head and it was like flying beside Tom Cruise from Minority Report. He's making all these weird gestures in the air. So I look at him thinking, this is mad. So I'm just staring at this guy, watching him do it. And then he turns his head to look at me and I realize, oh, he must have some camera feed that he can see me stare at him while he's very disconcerting.
It's very disconcerting. So just, he would have been able to see you the entire time because the way that
I'm
works.
Glad all I did was stare at him. Yeah. It's very odd.
It's bananas. And I do think it's going to become the norm.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it's not going to be for a while yet. Obviously, the likes of Apple and Meta and all the rest would love if it became the norm right now. But they are growing in popularity. At the moment, they're very big in the gaming sphere. But if you can picture being in meetings or even something like CES, being able to put on one of those headsets and interact with it. Before Christmas, we on the Pat Kenny Show had the Meta Quest 3Q, I think it is, and 3S. And I was blown away by it. I was able to interact. I was able to, you know, do anything that I wanted to do for my job. But then also you could put your finger out into the real world. And in the VR world, I was tapping an app to open YouTube. And all of a sudden, there are certain content that is shot for these VR headsets. And it's like being at a gig. And the sound quality is fully immersive. But I have to say, I don't necessarily love seeing them out in the wild.
Looks bizarre. And it's deeply uncomfortable to sit beside somebody who's wearing one of them. What were the things that you saw at CES that tickled your fancy?
Yeah, there was quite a few weird and wonderful things. Obviously, we had the usual amazing TVs and all the rest. But the first thing that jumped out at me was an emotional robot dog. So there's a company called Tombot, and they've developed what's called Jenny. Now, Jenny is the image of a teddy bear that I had and I still have in my parents' house. But this is an emotional support device, and it's been developed to give support and assistance to those who may have mental health issues or medical conditions such as dementia. It's a companion device, and it can bark, it can wag its tail, it can snore as you cuddle it. And the idea is that it doesn't have any maintenance requirements. It's just there as a companion. And what's striking is the mechanics of it. When you look at it, and I've posted a video up on my socials, it moves its head. You wouldn't know it's a robot on a first glance. And
really?
Yeah, it's bizarre. And to see it, you know, in the demo when it was just, you know, moving its head up, looking around, it is insane, because it is something that you are used to seeing a dog that has been turned into a robot. Something that you're not used to seeing turned into a robot, though, your coffee table.
Right. As in, it walks out, sits down, says, put coffee on me?
Like, all but. So say, for example, you're in an armchair and you're having a cup of coffee, and you get up with your cup of coffee in your hand and you move to the couch, but then you don't have a table beside you because you've moved to the couch. The table with six legs walks over to you because it's got AI built into it. So
now
it
can
sense where you go. It has a lamp built in as well. It's by a company called Mimo. And this is, again, another take on robotics, because a lot of what we've seen from the world of robotics have been those cobots or the super scary humanoid robots. I'm all about a robot table. Get it over to me ASAP. And I.
How can they get that to a price point at which you would say, I can stand over buying a robot coffee table?
I'd say come back to them in 15 years and it'll be affordable. At the moment, it is very much in its exploratory
way. Same thing at the start. They were wicked expensive and now they're a normal consumer purchase. What else? Give us one more before we wrap
up. I'll give you one quick one. An electric salt spoon. I'm sure this was on your wish list for Christmas and you didn't get it.
An electric salt spoon?
Yes. This is by a company called Kieran, and it actually has a purpose. So, you know, if you're eating some food and it's a bit bland, many people will reach for the salt and add a bit of salt to add some flavour. That's obviously not good for your health. What this spoon does is it can detect low sodium food, and it can trick your brain into thinking there's salt in it by sending an electric message from the spoon to your tongue, tricking your brain, and then you gobble down the grub.
So you don't actually have to add salt to get it directly stimulates the salt taste bud on the tongue. Nobody's going to buy it.
I'll wait and you see now.
It's like when they started bottling water. Same thing. I was like, why would you do that? It comes out of the tap. I lied. Give us one more then.
Okay. The final one is a TV in a briefcase. Again, picture the scenario. You're on your way to work.
This all sounds very daft.
Anton, I have spent a week walking around an adult playground looking at these daft things and having to keep a straight face. This is from LG, which is a big tech company. It's called the Stand By Me 2, and it is a battery-powered TV that can fit in a briefcase, or this time, because this is the second iteration of it, they've added a nifty little strap so you can carry it. So the demo people were walking around.
But are they familiar with the laptop and the tablet?
And like every other device that exists.
And your phone and... And those awful goggles that are never going to catch on.
I bet you now, next Christmas, I don't want to talk about it too soon, but next Christmas, everybody will be wearing new types of glasses. I guarantee it. I think the weird and the wonderful from CES is always interesting. I have to say that the motoring side of CES exploded this year. There were so many of the big brands. It's almost as much a motoring show as it is a technology show. And I have a full rundown of all the EV news on this week's Tech Talk. You can get the podcast now, or I'm on the later time of 8 o'clock because of some rugby stuff.
Jess Kelly, our Tech Talk presenter and News Talk Tech correspondent. Thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.